I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
$100?
No, please take it.
Oh, wait, I can't.
No, please.
I'd feel like a call girl.
You didn't do anything. I mean, think of it as a down payment on your art gallery. You deserve it. It's the best camera I'd ever had.
Oh, this is some tip. What would you have given me if I'd stayed the night?
Very sweet memory.
Just when I thought I'd had enough and all my tears were shed.
We're back again with actress Mary Lou Henner, author of Total Memory Makeover, right here on the TV Time Machine. Mary Lou, that was a clip from the Taxi episode, Memories of Cab 804, Enhanced. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that episode and what it was like working with a pre-Magnum Tom Selleck.
Well, I helped Mr. Pre-Magnum get the job because one of my old boyfriends, the guy I moved to Los Angeles with, was in an acting class with him, and he kept saying, there's a guy in my class who's so unbelievable looking. Oh my God, this guy, if this guy is having a hard time getting a job, I'm never going to get a job, you know? And so I'd see scenes that they'd do in class and everything else. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's super handsome. This is, you know, like a Clark Gable sort of guy. I mean, he's so gorgeous. Anyway, he came in for the audition for playing that part. And I said, you have to pick him. No, he's a fabulous actor. I've seen him do all this kind of stuff and everything else. So he ended up on Taxi in this episode. And, he ended up getting Magnum from that. So I always felt like kind of like a godmother to that experience.
You should get a cut, a percentage.
No. They would have found him anyway, believe me. That was a very special episode because it was the first year that we all did, we would do wraparound shows. We do like 22 or 24 episodes, but what they do is they do one episode that was a two-parter that had a little special thing for each one of us to do. It was always a themed show, so Memories of Cab 804 or the Big Dream one that we did the following year where I got to do the Lullaby of Broadway number, you know, things like that, or when I'm trying to decide about The Road Not Taken and, you know, some kind of episode like that. So that was our wraparound show that year, and you know, so Tom came in and do that. But you left the best line out, you know, when I say, what would you have given me if I'd spent the night? He says, a very sweet memory. All of a sudden you'd hear Danny, you're better off with 100. And every time we did that, I forgot that he was going to come on. So I forgot something. Elaine forgot or didn't know that Louis was going to be on. So I guess the actress in me would, you know, be so in the moment with Tom and then all of a sudden hear Danny's voice. And it was so funny. So my reaction was always genuine. It was really funny.
Well, another great person, and of course he was a regular, you talked about him earlier, was Andy Kaufman, who played Latka, which we'll hear in this clip.
Oh, Elaine. Άνθρωπος, ο πασάτο που σε κολεύει σε κούλεγο. Και σε καταπότε και απατάντο. Σα πάλω που σε πού σε πούλ απατακό.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing anybody ever said to me. I think. Hey, you want to tell me what's going on here?
Well, Elaine, you were just proposed to.
Aww.
No, really. They won't send Latke out of the country if he marries an American citizen.
Are you guys serious?
Oh. Hey, come on, we know how you feel, but look at it this way. It wouldn't have to be like a real marriage, just a paper marriage.
Right.
Yeah, you could get divorced soon after.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to sleep with him or anything like that.
Who asked you?
What made Andy Kaufman unique, both personally and professionally?
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie Man on the Moon. I think Jim Carrey captured a lot of, you know, Andy's zaniness, but you never got to see in that film through many different reasons, because of many different reasons, you never got to see kind of the sweet neighborhood boy next door quality that Andy had when you were actually sitting and talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, you would have a conversation with Andy where he was just this like sweet little nerdy guy that was so normal, you would never think that he was capable of the craziness in his performances. So I think it was that kind of yin and yang that operated within Andy that was just so amazing. I mean, my sons are 16 and 18, and their friends talk about Andy Kaufman, and he's been gone way before any of them were even slightly conceived, you know. So, I mean, I cannot believe what a cult following he's had even since his death, and how cutting edge he seems even to this day to this new generation. You know, he was, and I think it was because he was so normal and then could do such outrageous things that it was that you trusted him. You trusted him to take him on this wacky journey. It's like, let's just go follow this mind for a while. Our first Thanksgiving break on Taxi, Judd Hirsch and I were down in, at the Public Theater in New York. We shot the show in Los Angeles, but he and I were both there in New York for publicity. And all of a sudden, we run into Andy in the Bowery panhandling. I mean, he would just do crazy things. He took a job at Jerry's Famous Deli as a busboy on Tuesday nights after our Tuesday run-through, which was very famous on the lot. People would come all the time at the 4:30 run-through on Tuesdays. He would go from there to Jerry's Famous Deli and work as a busboy just because he wanted to. He wanted to stay in touch with people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he'd take his entire audience after they'd watch one of his shows. They'd come out of the theater, and there would be buses lined up, and he would herd the audience into the buses and take them out for milk and cookies or on the ferry or something like that. You know, he was just outrageous. But he was so normal when you sat and talked to him that you just could not believe that this guy would come up with those things. You know, there wasn't anything like creepy or weird about him or whatever. He was just this sweet boy, you know, this sweet, like, boy next door. That's what I wanted to say. This sweet boy next door that was like a little, you know, like a geek.
Do you know what made him tick? Why do you think he was the way he was?
I think he was a performance artist. Mm-hmm. I think he just had an outrageous, a very active imagination. And I think that he wanted to see how much he could get away with. You know, just juxtaposing, The Great Gatsby, foreign man reading The Great Gatsby, and then going into Elvis. It was like, what? You know, he just had an outrageous sense of humor and a sense of the absurd.
What did you think about his practical jokes sometimes going over the line and his alter egos? How did you?
Oh, you mean the whole Tony Clifton thing? Well, that
right.
was pretty like crazy.
Yeah.
We had been working together for a few months, and then our producer said, "Okay, well, the guest star next week. Well, we don't know how to tell you this. It's Andy, but it isn't Andy. Andy has this other character that he does in his club act, and so in order to get Andy Kaufman to play Latka, we had to sign Tony Clifton on for an episode. So our guest star next week is Tony Clifton, and he's going to play Louis De Palma's brother." I was like, "What?" So now we get there Monday, and here's, you know, can you imagine going to work almost every single day and knowing a guy, and then all of a sudden he shows up the next week at work dressed as a completely different character? I mean, here he had a wig, and he had padding, and he had a tuxedo on, and he was chain smoking, which Andy never did, and he had a fake nose and this kind of orange skin makeup on. And, you know, he's like, "Hey, pretty lady, what's the time? He's got this weird voice. But we all, you know, thought, okay, this is kind of funny. You know, it's performance art. It's Andy. That's fine. But then when Tony Clifton, and I'm saying in quotes, sat down to read, he was a terrible actor. You know, Andy was such a good actor. He created Latka and made up a country that I wanted to visit. You know, and created this whole language. He was actually a very good actor, Andy Kaufman. All you have to do is watch him in the Vic Ferrari episode. He's unbelievable. But Tony Clifton was terrible. And Andy was so busy playing Tony Clifton, you know, that you can't have a man playing a man playing a man, you know, which is what he was doing. So Tony Clifton was a bad actor. So they decided to fire him. They called Andy to say, "We're not going to, you know, your friend Tony's going to get fired." And he said, "Okay, but you're going to have to do it in person." So the next day at work, we come in, and they said, "Okay, Tony's been fired, but he's going to be here this afternoon. We're going to fire him in front of everybody, and we've got another actor that's going to play Louis' brother." So we're rehearsing all day, and all of a sudden from the back of the house, "Hey, where's the director? I got a contract. Let's go to work." And here comes Tony.
Gosh.
And it was so crazy. So Judd turns to me and he says, "Oh, the guy wants a psychodrama. You know, people are filming it." So then he gets in his face. "You think you're the only one with a contract here?" You know, Judd. And pretty soon, security guards are dragging Tony Clifton out.
Oh,
you know, the paparazzi snapping pictures and everything else. And then the next week, Andy came to work. you know. So it was part of his performance artist, mentality. But when it crossed a line into ruining the show,
right. They,
of course, fired Tony Clifton and never let him back to have any other episodes. So.
Well, Mary Lou, in the episode Shut It Down, the cabbies go on strike. And
yeah, that's my favorite episode.
And Louis decides to resolve the conflict by going out on a date with Elaine, which we'll hear in this clip.
I kind of thought, Nardo, that we'd have a little trouble with the conversation department. So I took the liberty to write up some notes here. I mean, you know, it's things that you would say to me and my answers back to you. Here's your copy.
You've written our entire conversation?
Well, not the whole thing, but just to get us rolling here. You have the first line.
I guess you know I have two children.
Ah, children. Reminds me of the old phrase. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king.
That's interesting.
Read.
That's interesting.
What was your experience like on that episode, and what was it like kissing Danny DeVito?
Oh, I love Danny. Oh, Danny's the sexiest of all. He's unbelievable. No, that was my favorite episode because it was only supposed to be a single episode, but we got to Tuesday and there was nothing to cut because it was so good and it's so rich and had so many levels to it. So they said it was our last, we were shooting that episode on December the 21st of 1979. It was a Friday. And by Tuesday they knew that we had to finish it. And it was Christmas week, so we couldn't slop it over to the following week. So they said, okay, Danny and Mary Lou, you guys are going to have a lot of dialogue. You're going to have this. We're going to have to shoot quickly, this and that. Can you handle it? And we were like, oh, absolutely. And Danny and I got together at his house, and we choreographed a little tango number that we do in the middle of it.
Right, which is great.
And my negotiation scene with Danny is my absolute favorite thing I ever did on Taxi. That is so funny to me. And every time we did it, Danny would try to make me laugh. And, of course, when he says the line, stallion, he kept adding stuff. And if you watch the episode, I have boots on that are so painful that I wore them to bed the night before because I knew the night of shooting, I wanted to give myself a stomach ache so that I wouldn't laugh. And I actually have painful shoes on in that episode just so I wouldn't laugh at the stallion line.
Well, Mary Lou, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with actress Mary Lou Henner, author of Total Memory Makeover, who is riding along with us on the TV Time Machine.